mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been hurt by a leader? Have you ever been hurt by a leader, whether directly or indirectly? Maybe you've been hurt in some way by a leader in society, some kind of leader in a company, or indirectly by some of the leadership in our country. Or have you maybe been hurt by someone who's been in leadership, even in the church? There are times when we have been hurt by different people, especially those that are leaders, and it can really bring a lot of angst, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, and a lot of other emotions, and maybe a bit of disillusionment as well. Well, we have a group of people in the Old Testament that were hurt by some leaders. They were not taken care of as well as they should have by a group of leaders. And in the midst of that frustration, God Almighty speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, and he gives them words of comfort. He gives them words of hope, and he speaks of a leader who would actually take care of the people. He speaks of a shepherd leader who would come. And that's what I'd like to focus on today, is the Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, and see what the Lord would teach us today from his word. And before we get into the chapter from Ezekiel today, Ezekiel chapter 34, I want to give you a little bit of context. As we study the scriptures, it's very important that we understand the context of what we're studying. You can delve into a particular verse, but it's very helpful to understand what's happening around that verse. So we're going to do a little review of the book of Ezekiel. Now, the book of Ezekiel has been written by the prophet Ezekiel, who is speaking on behalf of the Lord God. In Bible study, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we say in Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Ezekiel was one of the prophets that was speaking on behalf of God Almighty, and Ezekiel was speaking from the land of Babylon. Some of the prophets that we hear about, such as Jeremiah, were speaking to the people in Jerusalem. They were speaking of the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem because the people had turned away from the Lord. Now, Ezekiel was speaking from the land of Babylon because he was taken into captivity as the Babylonians were invading. Now, if you remember your history, there were several Babylonian invasions and people led off into exile. In the first one, we have our friend Daniel, who is taken off into exile. We remember him. Now, in the second deportation to Babylon, which took place in approximately 597 BC, our friend Ezekiel was also taken. Now, Ezekiel was studying to be a priest at the time. He was a young man, probably around 25 years of age. Imagine that. You're a young man, and all of a sudden your country is invaded and you're taken off into a foreign country. In the middle of all this, though, the Lord God called him to speak the word of the Lord to the people of Israel who were now in Babylon. You see, this would be a very difficult and discouraging time for anybody who's been taken off into exile. And Ezekiel is speaking the word of the Lord to the people. And what he is doing is he's speaking not only words of judgment, he's speaking that their home country is going to face destruction. The temple is going to fall in another 10 years or so. But he also gives them words of comfort in the midst of this. And I find it wonderful and amazing how God in his mercy continued to send the prophets to the people that didn't deserve it. These people had over and over again turned their back on the Lord, and God continued to send them prophets to warn them and to also give them words of hope and comfort, and that includes our friend Ezekiel. Now, just a brief overview of the book, and then we'll get into chapter 34. If you had to summarize the book, you could say that chapters 1 to 3 give the call of Ezekiel. We hear in different books how God called the prophets into service. So chapters 1 to 3 give the call of Ezekiel, calling him into service of Yahweh Almighty God. Then in chapters 4 to 24, he speaks words of judgment against Israel, saying, look, you guys have turned away from me. You've been going away in the other direction. Then in chapters 25 to 32, he also prophesies against foreign nations, against nations that have disregarded Yahweh as the true God and have gone after other gods. And then finally, in chapters 33 to 38, he speaks words of restoration in a series of words spoken of Almighty God, and also in strange visions and such, which are kind of bizarre. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll see some really weird imagery. It's like a really weird dream. But basically, Ezekiel speaks words of judgment and admonition, but also words of hope and comfort. And that gets us to chapter 34, where we are today. And in chapter 34, we find words of judgment against the leadership, but then later on in the chapter, words of hope and comfort. Ezekiel chapter 34, the first 10 verses, God is not happy with the leadership because they have failed the people. I'll read a couple excerpts from that. Ezekiel chapter 34, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. By the way, the word shepherd used in the Old Testament is not just about the dude that takes care of fluffy sheep, but the word shepherd was used to speak of leaders. The word shepherd was used of kings and sometimes priests, people in authority, leaders, okay? So he's speaking to the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. Some pretty harsh words against the leadership, against the kings and against the religious leaders who have failed the people, who have been so focused on themselves that they have neglected the people that they have been placed in charge of. They're supposed to take care of the people, not be over and above them, pressing them down, but rather being servants. But they're not servant leaders. They're rather oppressing the people. And then we can experience this in our day and age, in our world, in both the world and the political sphere, but unfortunately, also in the church as well. Now, some of you might have heard from some of the debates and other things about one of the presidents of Venezuela. You hear in the politics about how Venezuela is doing. And for me, it holds a special place because my mother was born in Venezuela, actually. And so, unfortunately, Venezuela has really gone downhill very much because of the leadership. The former president, as you might recall, was Hugo Chavez, and a very not good leader, might be one way of putting it. The current leader, Nicolas Maduro, he's technically been voted out. There's technically a new guy that has come in, but he's so hungry for power that he's still maintained control of the police force, and there's various other aspects of corruption in which Nicolas Maduro still has his tentacles in. And as a result, the poverty level of Venezuela is very high, 90% poverty rate. And the inflation rate of the currency, believe it or not, is something like 27,364%. So basically, the money in Venezuela is practically worthless, and there's people who are hungry, people who can't get medicine because of the corruption going on. And if you study different leaders in our world, whether it's Nicolas Maduro or other countries, North Korea is not maybe the best place right now to live in the world. You can find leaders that have been so worried and focused upon themselves and the power that they can have that they've neglected the people and the people have suffered. Even in our country, we can be affected by leaders at various levels in the political sphere that can affect us in very difficult and troubling ways. I mean, we have leaders that have failed us. Without getting into the politics per se, you may have certain people that you can think about, either presently or in the past, who you've really hated their guts. You don't like them because they've failed. They have made all kinds of promises, and then they've been focused on themselves and have not kept their promises. They've failed the people. They've failed us in our country on various levels. And it can wreak havoc. It can affect our lives in different ways. And unfortunately, what can happen is we have a leader who sets the tone in a moral sense, who has advocated things that go against the Word of God. And in our current political climate, there are people in whatever part of the political sphere that are advocating things that are clearly against the Word of God. I mean, when we have some of the stuff going on with the abortion laws, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But when you have leaders, they have certain power and they begin pushing certain agendas, it's troublesome and it can cause anger and frustration and literally affect the lives of various people. I'm sure you can think of other things, other issues that are troublesome to you as you look at the climate, even in our own country, and it can cause us anger and frustration, and we feel like we've been failed by the leadership. Sadly, though, this can also happen in the church as well, in a place where you would hope that there would be sanctuary, in a place where you would hope that people would receive comfort and what they need. But unfortunately, even in the church, there have been leaders who have failed or who have led people astray. Over the years, we've had different preachers, and without trying to pick on people, nonetheless, we've had people that seem to be more focused on their money and getting money from people than actually caring about the flock. There was an individual by the name of Todd Kuntz. You probably haven't heard of him, but he was a preacher who would advocate people to send in a certain amount of money into his program, whether it was $232 or $333. And the promise was that if you send in $232, if you send in $332, if you put that seed in the ground, then God will bless it and you will be prosperous. Your bank account will grow. You will flourish. So then meet a couple by the name of Larry and Darcy. BBC did an article about Larry and Darcy, who followed Ted Kuntz, among other preachers, so-called preachers. And Larry and Darcy had a daughter who was ill, who was struggling. And they thought, well, we want to be blessed by the Lord. We want our daughter to be healed. So we're going to send in our money. And that way God will bless us. That way our daughter will be healed. That way we will have money to take care of her. And they kept sending money and sending money. And over the years, Larry and Darcy invested $20,000 to various so-called preachers. And the daughter continued to struggle with her health problems. So Larry and Darcy called in to some of these people and they said, hey, our daughter is struggling. Can you help us? Can you give us some financial help for our daughter? And over again, there were various excuses and reasons why they would not receive any kind of financial help. And unfortunately, this can happen where even within the churches, leaders have failed us. And maybe it's not in such a dramatic fashion, but unfortunately, we as pastors, sinful people that we are, have failed you in various ways. Maybe it's in major ways, but sometimes it's in smaller ways that have created frustration and anger. And on behalf of the leaders, I want to apologize to you. I know myself, in my sinful nature as Dallas, I have sinned, and I have caused problems at times, and I want to apologize to you for that on behalf of myself and also on behalf of the leadership in the churches. And thankfully, the Lord God has mercy upon us. And you see, we have seen people being hurt because of a lack of leadership in the church or in our world, and it can be discouraging and frustrating. But in the midst of all this, We have a passage from Ezekiel chapter 34, which gives an amazing contrast. On the one hand, we have leaders that have failed you, that have failed me. But we have a leader in the Lord God who has come forth and has rescued his people. And that's what we hear in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. Listen to these words with the context that we've just talked about, with all that we've just talked about. Listen again to these words from Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. Listen, over and over again, the first person, what God will do, he says, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Imagine the people in Ezekiel's day, in their situation, in captivity, hearing these words. And we don't need to imagine, but listen to these words yourself. As you think about how leaders have failed you, how you have been frustrated with the various challenges of life, and you hear what your God does for his people. Over and over, he says, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this for you. And as we look at the context of Ezekiel, we see that the Lord has kept his promise. We know that the people of Israel, after their 70 years in captivity in Babylon, were brought back by a benevolent king named Cyrus and a leader by the name of Zerubbabel. Imagine naming your kid that, Zerubbabel. But Zerubbabel led a remnant from captivity into the land, and there was restoration. God kept his promise. But more than that, God fulfilled his promise in the person that we know as Jesus Christ. It fits quite well with the Bible study that we had this morning about Jesus. And the one who is superior to angels, the one who is true God and true man, and he is the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means, the anointed one. He is the Messiah that was promised, and he is the one who dwells among his people as the shepherd. Should sound familiar as we hear a passage such as John chapter 10, right? John chapter 10, Jesus says these words, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the amazing God that you have, that I have. The one who in the middle of your struggles, in the middle of your difficulties, in the middle of your brokenness, in the middle of your sinfulness, seeks you out. I love it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. God sought you out. He didn't wait until you made yourself worthy to be in his presence, but he sought you out like a dirty sheep with burrs. I'm getting this picture of this dirty, fluffy sheep that's all dirty and full of burrs and just an utter mess. And the shepherd comes out and he says, you know what? Here, come here. And he picks up the sheep and he hauls it back to the rest of the herd. No, it kind of sounds like what Jesus was talking about in the New Testament, doesn't it? Jesus was speaking to the tax collectors and sinners. He was speaking to them, and they loved hearing about this message of mercy that he was bringing. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't like this. They were not happy with this Jesus. So Jesus told these parables. He told the parable about the 99 sheep, or the one sheep that was lost, and bringing that sheep back. And he speaks about the joy of finding that one sheep, and about the rejoicing in heaven. He speaks the parable about that woman who lost the coin and spent that time searching for it and searching for it and searching for it until she found it, and the rejoicing that she had after she found it. And if you read the context after Luke, guess what? We have the parable of the prodigal son right after that. This is what God has done for you and for me. This is the God who cares about you, who cares about the lost around you. And I love the rejoicing that we hear over that person that is found. After the Lord seeks out that person, there is rejoicing. I mean, can you picture this in your mind in heaven? I mean, this is only something that we can speculate about because I don't know what it looks like. But I just picture this amazing scene in heaven with all these angels around the throne of God. And as one sinner is brought to repentance, as we have someone who's baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, washed clean in the blood of Christ, I could just picture all these angels beginning to rejoice and cheering and shouting and screaming, hurrah, as this person is brought to faith. I mean, it says right there in the scriptures, in verse 10, after the coin parable, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's just fantastic. And this is the rejoicing that God has had over you. And it's the rejoicing that he wants to have over the people in your life. As it says in the scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the God that we have, a God who seeks and who saves and who serves us, ultimately, as we know, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he served you by taking your sins away, and he's the one who is alive. So as you go about this week, and you're feeling frustrated about the leadership in the world or in the church, focus your gaze upon the Good Shepherd, the leader who will never fail you, the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. And may we pray that God would allow us, as now people of the flock, may he give us opportunities to seek out those around us who have been hurt by the church or by the world, that he would allow us to share the good news of the leader who never fails. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen. We turn to page 159 and we rise as we speak the words of our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to our Lord. Bless your church, O Lord, and preserve all your people whom you have called by your word, whom you have given new birth in the waters of baptism, and fed and nourished by their communion upon the body and blood of our Savior. Make us perfect in love that we may keep your commands and do the good works that glorify you, Lord, in your mercy. Make wise and faithful all pastors and all those who hold office in your church, that by their devotion and service, many may hear your word and be brought to faith.
Raise up many who will heed your call and serve where you desire. Bless the work of missionaries far and near and those who give aid and comfort to the poor and those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Give to our nation wise and honorable leaders, O Lord, that we may be protected by good laws and delivered from injustice, prejudice, and hatred. Bless the members of our armed forces who defend us against our enemies and guide us that we may be good citizens. Bring harmony and concord to the nations that war and violence may cease and we may work together for the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Deliver us from a judgmental spirit, O Lord, and instill within us a repentant heart that we may seek reconciliation and peace through confession and the forgiveness of sins. Bless those who work within your church to bring peace and unity where there is division, mistrust, and hate. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the homes of your people, O Lord, that husband and wife may honor their vows of love and fidelity to each other. Unite parents and children in love and affliction and affection, that their lives together may be examples to the world of your goodness and love. Be with those who have been hurt and who are currently single at this time, that they would have meaningful friendships and fulfillment in their work and recreation. And Lord, that you would bind up the brokenhearted and bring your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Bring to the sick and sorrowing the comfort of your grace, that in the days of their afflictions and in their time of adversity, they may know your presence and healing grace. We pray especially this day for Holden and for Pam and all those whom we name upon our hearts. Be near to those who grieve the loss of loved ones and those to whom death draws near. We pray especially for the family of Barbara, that you would give them your peace which surpasses all understanding. According to your gracious will, grant to all the consolation, to all the consolation of your love and your tender compassion, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, all things are yours, and you have promised to well supply us with all that we need. Give us courage and faith that we may give a confident amen to these prayers, certain that you will give us all that is good and beneficial to our salvation and preserve us from all things harmful. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all honor and glory both now and forever. Amen. We now greet each other with the peace of Christ.